I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. An abbreviated show today as we make way for the 190th semi-annual general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Greenhouse only until 9:30 this morning. So thank you for joining us. The number to call with your questions, make sure you do so early, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. I might need a little bit of help on this one. The next texter, Ton, says, is there any way to save spikes over the winter? And I'm not sure what spikes are.
Those are the green, weeping, grassy things that you put in planters and flower beds.
Oh, okay. Now I know what they are. Okay.
They're a species of Dracaena and can be planted as a houseplant. So if they're in a pot, I would carefully dig around it and get as much of the roots as you can and replant it into a slightly larger container than what it was in, and then put it in its own room near a bright window, and then, you know, turn it every week or so to keep it nice. The reason you're isolating it is because they oftentimes will have scale or spider mites or aphids that you don't want to spread to other houseplants. And so they need to be quarantined for 30 to 60 days, preferably 60, to make sure that there's nothing on there that you don't want spreading to your house.
Okay. Would these be okay, like in a garage window?
If the garage were heated and kept around 50 or so, yes, 55.
Okay, so it just depends on the temperature in there.
Yeah, you know, if it's like my garage, it's just kind of there but unheated. You know, sometimes my garage, especially near the door, freezes. Mm-hmm. And it would just be way too cold. And so if your garage is insulated, sealed up, and you keep it, you know, around that 50 or 55 degree mark, it would be fine.
Next texter says they planted a lawn this last summer. The lawn looks good, but the ground is very lumpy. They're wondering what they can do.
Oh, boy. You know, you can go and it depends a lot on what's going on. If the soil is compacted underneath, then, you know, it may just be there. If it's compacted and has lots of earthworms causing this, you know, that's more of a soil management issue, but lumps just kind of naturally form. And so, you know, you can do a roller and just put some water in it. It's not great, but it'll kind of smash down some of those lumps. It helps temporarily. More will form. If you really have to, you can get a machine to, what are the dethatchers, mm-hmm, and set it low just right above the grass's crowns. That's pretty brutal on the lawn, but it'll recover. But there's really just no easy way to knock the lumps down.
The next listener says, can they prune a few lower branches off of their pine tree? It has long needles. The snow gets on the branches, and that makes the branch, the one that they're talking about, almost touch the ground.
They can. What they'll want to do is go toward the trunk and just cut it away from the trunk.
Okay. Next texter says, when is the best time to plant dried and separated peonies? Also, how many stalks in each hole and how deep?
Well, the peonies, I would go ahead, if they're able to, and just get them in the ground and let them overwinter and let Mother Nature take care of them. If it's a pretty good sized crown, just one, if they're smaller, you can plant two together. And I would probably go every 3 feet because peonies get pretty big.
All right, let's take a caller. Let's go to Joe in Tooele. Good morning, Joe. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I'm trying to find an arborist in my area who could possibly just walk around the property with me and help me identify the trees and shrubs on the property and how to take care of them. I've looked online, and it seems like everything that comes up is mostly like tree trimming services. Is there a better resource I can look for in my area?
What I would do is call your local extension office. They oftentimes have a list of consultants that, you know, for pay can come out and walk your yard with there. There's several qualified master gardeners out your way and that may be able to do something like that. But the extension office would have a list of local arborists or, and it's not really an arborist you want. You want a horticulturist that can identify perennials, trees, shrubs, and annuals. So the phone number out there that you can call Monday morning is 435-277-2400.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I'll give them a call on Monday.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to The Greenhouse Show. Next person is asking, they say they want to plant a peach tree and they want to know your opinion on dwarf versus standard hale peach trees.
They're both fine depending on the room you have. The standard one gets big and the dwarf stays small. How's that?
That was great.
Okay.
Okay.
So it just, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
It's pretty much just the room, how much, you know, room you have for the tree, right?
Yeah, it is. And a lot of it, the dwarfing rootstocks will not, they reduce vigor. And so they're going to have to research pruning peaches and know how to do that, because on a dwarf tree, if they let that thing go crazy and just get fruit all over it, the branches are going to be more likely to break on a dwarf than on a standard, but they can still sure collapse on a standard too. And so my recommendation would be to look at pruning techniques and learn how to prune correctly to protect the health of the tree.
Right. It sounds like this person has the room for the tree. But
you know, if you have room, I would go standard. And just because you want that extra vigor, especially from like a level rootstock, will benefit you because you'll have more girth on the branches. If you make a mistake, it'll recover more quickly. And peaches can be pruned a little bit harder in early spring than other fruit trees, but it's still going to boil down to good pruning. And our style of helicopter pruning for peaches, you know, if you look down at the tree from the top and we have all the growth on the very edge and all the peaches on the edge are absolutely what you don't want to do, you can do that open center, but you leave growth from, you know, on three quarters of the branch. So you have peaches evenly spread so you don't collapse those branches.
Is there a difference in flavor when it comes to a dwarf tree or a regular tree?
No, as long as the trees are equally maintained, genetically, the top is going to be hell's best, I'm assuming is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll taste the same. On the dwarf, they may be a bit smaller because of that lack of vigor, but they'll taste the same.
All right. Next texter is asking about bindweed and what are the best conditions and methods to get the best bindweed kill. They've not seen, apparently, your video on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. They can check that out. They have bindweed in their lawn, and they've purchased some Fertilome Weed Out, which has the quinclorox, the 2,4-D, and the dicamba.
That's fine.
But they're wondering, when's the best time? What are the best conditions? And
anytime. Make sure that the lawn's watered and that the bindweed is happy and, you know, through watering, and then go ahead and spray.
Explain why you want it to be happy and healthy before you spray and kill it.
fat and sassy is better than drought stressed and lean, because when the plants are drought stressed, they go semi-dormant. They shut down stomates on the leaves. That's where they kind of, the gas exchange takes place and they release excess moisture and things. And so when the plant's actively growing and it thinks everything is hunky-dory, you can actually get a better uptake of the active ingredients in the spray as compared to when it's drought stressed.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will take a call from Tim in Riverton. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning. 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are standing by to hear from doctors for President Trump on his condition. He is at Walter Reed Medical Center. If you are just tuning in and you haven't heard this news, he was taken to the hospital yesterday. They are saying as a precaution, but we are expected to get an update on his condition around the 9 o'clock hour, sometime around 9 o'clock, and we will bring that to you here on KSL News Radio. Let's take a call from Tim this morning in Riverton. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Hey, you guys have been helping me with this pasture grass. You may recall I've called in twice now, and very happy with it. It came up good, and but I have a few bare spots, and this is something that I've never done is plant what they call, I guess it's called overseeding, or am I better off waiting till the spring and then replanting certain areas?
Well, you can try overseeding. I wouldn't do it right now because if it germinated, it would most likely be killed in the winter. So if you're going to do that, what I would do is rough up the soil in late October or early November, and then just top dress or overseed then and let rain and snow kind of cover that seed up and then see how it germinates. And you'll have to give it until mid-May to really see what you've got, but that's what I would do at this point.
Okay, but would I be better? No, okay. Two questions now then. do I need to roll it after I've roughed it up and spread my seed that way? Or
no,
just,
you don't.
Throw it on the ground.
Well, don't just throw it on the ground. Rough it up, put it in. And, you know, when you don't, I'm not delicate enough to be able to rake soil over seed. What happens is I drag the seed and I get bare spots and then clumps of grass. And so if you do anything, I would just get some more soil and put a quarter of an inch over the top of the seed or a third of an inch if it's a little bit more vigorous, or cover it with a light layer of finely shredded compost.
Okay. Would I be better off just doing it like I did this fall in the springtime? I mean, for your cost of your seed and you know, because I'm doing about an acre, which most people will laugh, but compared to a lawn. But
well, I mean, like seeding it regularly in the spring, or I'm not sure what you're. You could wait for spring too.
Okay, because I'm fairly successful at that. This overseeding, I've never had any luck, and we've never done that on a farm. So
yeah, as long as you know what you're doing, waiting for spring would be absolutely fine.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much, and pat you guys on the back for walking me through and getting it as good as it is.
Thank you.
Good to hear you're having success. Thanks for your call this morning. We do have a texter who wanted to just chime in on an earlier question, Tana. There was a person asking who they could call to help identify plants in their yard. And this texter just wanted people to know in relation to that, that there is an app for that. Of course there is, right? They have used what's called the Seek app, S-E-E-K app, and it's they've gotten really good results. It's free and really fun when you're trying to find out what the plants are in your yard.
Thank you.
So just a little suggestion. Bit of information. Thanks for listening
yes.
this morning.
Now, Maria, I should yes. mention that there's another text that says Maria is an excellent co-host.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, there
is. I haven't seen that one yet. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I just refreshed and I wasn't sure that you would read that, but I think it needs to get out there.
Oh,
because
you're
you
kind. Well, I don't have any great information. I just love to garden and I love to ask questions. So.
No, it's all good. You tolerate me.
Oh, no, you tolerate me. It's the other way around. Okay, thank you so much for reading that. And Dave says enough already from both of us. Next texter wants to know when it's too late to mulch with your mower.
And never. It's always a good time to mulch with your mower. That's like asking, when is it a good time to have a donut? I mean, come on now.
It's always a good time to have a donut.
It is. You know, it's like when someone says, how nice to meet you. And you're like, yeah, it's always nice to meet me.
I don't know. You haven't seen me in COVID and I've been having too many donuts, apparently.
No. About the only time you don't is if your lawn is so thick, like in the spring, that you're leaving a trail of grass behind, you're not chopping it up finely enough. And so you can collect the clippings for a couple of weeks, but there are newer mowers out that have settings on them that will collect, say, 30% of the clippings and the other 70% get mulched back. Mm-hmm. So if you have a newer mower, that option may be out there.
Okay, let's take a call from George in Salt Lake. Good morning, George. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I have a question about gophers. I think gophers are like dandelions or field bindweed. If you can clear them out of your yard, but if the neighbors don't, they come back.
You're correct. So what specifically is going on?
Well, I just keep I've been okay for a couple of years, but I'm finding gopher hills. I've had some of those gas bombs that you put underground and light the fuse, and I used a couple of those. But I see a fresh hill this morning.
Well, you're going to have to keep after it. And what I like to do to know where they're at is when you see those mounds, knock them over and then go out the next day and see what's there, because you know those new mounds are going to be the ones where the gophers are living.
Right.
So if you're going to use those gas bombs, knock them all over and then go out and do your treatment after, and just in the brand new ones.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing. And so I guess I've kind of on the right track, but we're always looking for fast and permanent and easy fixes.
Not so many in the yard.
Not so many.
Nope.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling this morning. Next texter wants to know, Tana, whether they can grow an elderberry bush from a green elderberry branch, and will the branch sprout if it's placed in moist soil and any other conditions necessary? This is from a native elderberry bush or tree.
If they have the equipment and the know-how, they could probably root it.
You sound very hesitant here.
To jam it in the ground, it won't. And so, if they have one, I mean, even getting the seeds to go and stratifying them, it's a project to do. And so they may be better off searching for online native elderberry starts. And you can sometimes find them bare root and things and going that direction. If they needed to, they could take the fruit and process it. You can look this up online on how to do it, but process the elderberry seed and stratify it and germinate it. Mm-hmm. It would be a longer process, and it's still going to take the time and effort and equipment. But either way, it's a longer drawn-out process that you just don't jam a branch in the ground and have it grow.
Okay, let's take our next caller this morning. It would be Dorothy in Salt Lake. And good morning, Dorothy.
Hi. Good morning to you. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Have a question about, I'm not sure, it's some kind of a small needle pine or that sort of thing. I have a lot of rusty looking spots on two of them that are about 30 years old. Is that enough information to figure out what it might possibly be and how to deal with it?
Maybe. There could be a lot going on, and in this situation, pictures are worth a thousand words. And so those rusty spots, are they on newer needles or older needles?
I believe it's more the older needles. I'm wondering if part of it could be that it didn't get enough water, or also there's been some kind of spider webby spots, but those are not the spots that are having the
I think you just have spiders.
Brown rusty. Okay, so if we get rid of the spiders, you think it might recover? And
no, so we're getting short on time, and so what I'm going to have you do is, we're just up against the news. Rusty spots, if they're just little rings on the needles and they're on older needles, oftentimes those are chalked up to drought stress. And if the new needles look fine, I would just monitor. Make sure, and we need to get this out. Maybe we can talk about it a little more at the top of the hour, but we need to get those conifers watered in. We've been so dry for the fall, and do that, and just keep an eye on things. And if the new growth starts to decline, then let's get some pictures and get them over to your extension office in your county and go from there.
So basically she needs to take a few pictures, and then where would she send them?
To the Salt Lake County Extension Office. I don't have the email address in front of me. Well, you know, the place to do it besides that would be Utah Gardening Experts on Facebook. So you go to Facebook and search Utah Gardening Experts, and then you can upload pictures there and the community take a look. Several extension people are also on there.
Okay, what's the name of that again? Utah Gardening Experts?
Yes, on Facebook.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for your call this morning. And you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. We are also standing by for a press conference from the president's doctors to update his condition on COVID. Stay with us. We'll have more.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.